Call meeting order, please. Diane, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Diane, I'd like to thank you and your crew for the wonderful dinner. And if you would tell Carolyn and Valerie, we said the same thing. Thank you very much. It was greatly appreciated. Very, very nice. Remember, roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Jane Borowski.
Present.
Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin. Carol Race.
Here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Devin Anderson.
Here.
Okay. Under C, resolve that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda.
Motion.
By Richard.
Second. Carol.
Seconded by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, at this time, we have a short executive session. I need a motion to go into executive session.
Motion.
Motion by Richard. Seconded by Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we will make
the short.
Oh, I'm sorry. To discuss the employment history of a particular person.
Yep. It's going to be in the library.
In the library, we'll go back up to the library and make this as short as we can.
You're back.
We've already made a motion to come
on
in 17 seconds.
Yeah, we got to wait. Okay, I need a motion to come out of executive session.
So motion.
Second. Wait a minute, yeah, I got two people. We got Richard and Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're going to bring on. Okay, public comment. We have some time for public comment. Would anybody like to address the board? The presentations.
There's Leanne, are you going to?
Am I going to present?
I know on demand you can present at any time. But not tonight. Not tonight. We have a number of individuals who are presenting. I just thought perhaps you would like to lead an introduction.
I think they'll probably introduce themselves by name, but I'd like you to know that we have a variety of people here. One of the best kept secrets of being in town is the special ed department. OT and PT are two related services that you were just so kind enough to decide that instead of buying CVS and BOCES, we now have some of our own people on staff. We have a special educator and a general educator who's worked with us for so long we've kind of adopted her into the special education department. They will introduce themselves and they are going to show you some really great things that happens with related services in the world of special ed and general ed too.
You can see why I turned it over to me. Excellent, thank you.
So, hello, my name is Amy Holzer. I'd like to thank you for inviting us here. I've been teaching here at Beekman Town Central School for 17 years, and currently I am a third grade teacher.
My name is Carrie Beatty. I've been a special education teacher at Beekman Town for 13 years, and I've had the opportunity to teach kindergarten and fourth grade students during that time.
I'm Amy Paul. I'm an occupational therapist that's been practicing OT since 1986.
And I'm Stacey Burrow. I'm another occupational therapist at Beekman Town Elementary. I was 2 when Amy started practicing OT. I'm not quite as seasoned as Amy, but this is my 4th year as an occupational therapist working with children and almost a full year working at Beekman Town Elementary.
So this summer we have the opportunity through Leanne to develop sensory strategies that can be implemented into the classroom at all grade levels and help teachers meet the sensory needs of all students.
And yes, we all have sensory needs,
so,
regardless of our age.
So since arriving here tonight, have any of you moved in your seat, fiddled with something, played with the computer, took a sip of water,
chewed your pen,
doodled on a piece of paper, is anyone chewing gum, leaning on your elbows, whatever, wiggling your foot. If so, you are trying to fulfill a sensory need.
So as some of you might have noticed, there's a black sock in front of you, and this does not go along with Diane's lovely decor for our Christmas decorations, but we're going to just take a few minutes to work in teams, and so
it's clean, it's brand new.
We promise these socks are
not over there.
We just purchased them.
It won't hurt, we promise.
Okay.
So everyone has their team set up, and you can sit down if you want, or stand, whatever you're more comfortable doing. Okay, so inside of the sock, each sock has some rice, and there are 12 paper clips inside. So as you're working with your team, just like when we're involved in a team, we want to cheer our team members on and encourage them to complete their task. And your task is to put your hand inside the black sock, feel through the rice, and pull out as many paper clips as you can. Don't start yet, though. You may not, just so you know, you may not dump the rice out.
Oh, now you're not being fair.
You may not dump the rice out. You need to actually put your hand inside. Well, just one moment, though. Just one moment. Inside the rice. That's okay. We're glad you're excited. Okay. So, each person is going to have 10 seconds to try their best to pull out as many paper clips as they can, and then you'll pass it along to another team member.
I always have a question.
Sure, please.
Can we take out rice at the same time?
Sure. If you want to take out rice, that's fine. You just can't dump the rice out. So just so we know we're all ready, who can tell me how long each person has?
10 seconds.
And how many paper clips are there all together inside? 12 paper clips. So we will count your 10 seconds. We will let you know when it is time to switch. Okay, Mrs. Holzer, are you ready?
Ready.
Go ahead. You may begin.
9, 8.
And encourage your team. Yeah, encourage your team. Come on, you can do this. Okay, you need to switch. We'll explain to you what has just happened.
Okay. Oh, I know what happened. Yeah, I've been taken.
Okay. So team number one, how many people did you
have?
Almost? Yeah.
Six.
Six.
You got
eight.
Ooh.
Six.
Yeah.
Okay, and what about team number two?
We didn't get any.
No. And team number three?
We were set up.
What you have just experienced, ladies and gentlemen, is sensory overload.
With that sensory overload, you had the light, you had sound,
You had touch. You had pressure. You had to get something done in a quick time frame. Yes?
I was between two women.
No. Distraction.
And we all have...
That's why I got one.
We all have processing challenges. It's how we approach those challenges that makes a difference in how we can be successful in everyday life. And Amy is passing out a PowerPoint to you that will explain a little bit more in depth about our summer curriculum project.
Were there 12 flips in here?
There were 12 flips. I counted them all out now. Feel free, if you want, to try to find your pictures. Stop eating.
I think there were none.
Oh, look at it. This is crazy. There really are. You're so overloaded with the right system that you can't even see them. Amazing. It's an eye-opener. So I'm just going to give a brief background of what sensory integration is, just so you have a general idea of what we're talking about and some of the concepts we took when we were creating our project. Essentially, sensory integration is an ongoing cycle. We take in the information from all our senses, so it's very similar to what you just did. You choose which information to pay attention to, you make sense of the information, and then you choose an appropriate response. There's thousands of different examples, but one that I commonly use is the hot burner. You know, you put your hand on a hot burner, what's your reaction? Your hand's interpreting what it is, it's hot, so you're gonna, your response is to take your hand away. Amy has another example.
Another one for the computer tech person is your computer, you get information, you input all kinds of information in order to get information back. Your system, your sensory system is the same way. I get information coming in through touch, goes to my brain registers it, gives me output. So like a computer.
So, sensory integration therapy, I put in quotes, it can just be treatment techniques, different strategies that you use, are specific controlled sensory and motor experiences combined. This helps a child learn to better process sensory input to help their brain organize, and it helps the child experience a sense of control over their bodies and their environments when they're able to better regulate their bodies. Next slide. Overall, sensory integration is beneficial to all people, children, adults, anybody. The most important part is to have repetition and structure. Structured sensory integration activities with repetition are used to develop new organization in the brain. As we know, the brain has a lot of plasticity, so a lot of things can change in your brain and make adjustments in the different connections and neural pathways in your brain. And this continues. You know, it doesn't just stop at birth. It continues throughout childhood. It continues into adulthood. Our brain is very flexible, if you will. I wanted to show this little cartoon. I thought it was very creative and a good explanation kind of what we do in occupational therapy. As you can see, you know, there's a kid playing on a swing. There's a kid down on the scooter board. There's a gentleman there that's asking, what occupational therapy goal are you working on with these kids? And then the therapist says, handwriting, obviously. Basically, we don't necessarily just sit down at the table and say, write these letters. There's different approaches that you take, different ways to get the body prepared for learning, prepared to do seat work. So oftentimes, if you come into our room, you'll see kids doing all different kinds of crazy things, but we do have a goal and objective that we're trying to reach. There are three systems, primary systems, when we talk about sensory integration and sensory processing that we focus on primarily as OTs. The proprioceptive system, the vestibular system, and the tactile system, which we're going to talk a little bit more about. The proprioceptive system is the unconscious awareness of body position. Knowing where you are in space, it tells you where your bodies are in relation to other people, other objects, and it's continuously being sent to the brain. Up in your brain, you actually have receptors that the neural pathways that, you know, help communicate this information to your body. It communicates how much force to exert with your muscles, how to grade movements. You can find these receptors inside your muscles, your tendons, your ligaments, your joints. Who might need proprioceptive input? We see this very frequently in many of our classrooms.
Sometimes you might see a child chewing on their shirt in the front or chewing on the top of their pencil, being really loud down the hallway, stomping their feet, poor attention span, large handwriting. I mean, the list can go on and on. These are just some behavioral indicators of different things that might say they're needing this extra input.
The next system is the vestibular system. The vestibular system provides information about our movement, gravity, and change that you have with head position. It tells us that we are moving or remaining still, as well as the direction or speed of our movement. The vestibular system helps us to stabilize our eyes when we're moving and tells us if objects around us are moving or remaining still. Kids that might need vestibular input are the ones that are constantly moving in their seats, keeping their body still, keeping their feet on the ground. They're the ones that you see in this picture that are leaning into their desk or leaning way back in their desk. They're the ones that are rocking or spinning. They are the ones that will be, as you're talking, that's their way of focusing and trying to attend to what you're asking them to do.
They are seeking
input. Okay, the tactile system, that is the sense of touch. Information is received through the touch receptors in the skin. These receptors are all over our body, the skin, the tongue, the nose, everywhere. And those systems can be with light touch, pressure, vestibular, vibration, temperature, and pain. Feedback from the tactile system contributes to the development of body awareness and motor planning. So you have a child that doesn't like to play with Play-Doh or have pudding in their mouth. Those are the kids that have a tactile defensiveness that they don't like, and we need to work through that. Okay, children that have this tactile problem are the ones that walk down the hallway, what we call trailing, their hands against the wall. They're touching everything or everyone around them. They crave touching and hugging from others. They're obsessive with putting their fingers in their mouth or in their nose. They're mouthing objects. You'll see a lot of kids that are doing the chewing on their shirt. They're on the sleeve on the front. They're the ones that are seeking input there. They don't like getting messy. They don't like hurt. Because you're doing a lot of the Play-Doh, paints. They have clothing issues. A good example is you have a child that likes to wear shorts, t-shirt, all year round. You would not send your child to school at this time of year with shorts, t-shirt. But a lot of our kids have a sensory difficulty changing into the long sleeve. You can't tolerate the texture. And the other thing is they're unaware that their face and their hands are dirty. So that awareness is not there. The project that we did this summer was to provide tools that teachers could use in the classroom to help everybody with sensory issues. Everybody has a sensory issue. It's just how we can adapt to that sensory issue.
And that's not to say that they all need direct services from an OT provider. A lot of the things that can be simply done in the classroom by providing them different opportunities throughout their day to engage in different activities that help them be more successful in their learning environment, thus having better academic performance.
Regular classroom teachers such as myself, often we call it legal reasons to move. They often go to the bathroom more often, get drinks more often. We have these little fidget boxes that we created that will show them. So they're doing it anyway. They're already fidgeting in their seats. So we're giving them tools, let them fidget, then they get back to work. Then they might need to fidget again, they get back to work. So it helps all students, which I think is very important to know.
Beekmantown has been very generous. Leanne's been very generous to help supply the OTPT department with the tools that we need to share with our students and our faculty.
I think deadline is
so what I have over here is equipment that we use.
There you go.
I have If you have a child that's very wiggly in their seat, sometimes what you need to do is give them something that will help them to wiggle. You'll see these on television, it's been in the news, they get the ball with the udders. I sit still, the kids can go and sit right on it, and they can get a little movement that they need that will ultimately help them with being able to attend. If this doesn't work, I have the Bitty Bottoms, which is another seat. It has like pebbles in it. Child sits on it, they can move on it. It gives them just enough sensory input that they can focus. And it comes in wedge style. And this is one that I like to use with my older students if they don't all want to sit on a therapy ball. But you just go, sit on it, and it provides the little movement that they need. Okay? I am going to leave it over here so that you can try it out later.
So if you need to wake yourselves up a little bit.
Yes.
We have a lot of students.
I have a question. Was that for anyone developing a little
No.
Are we going to make it feel at home here?
No. Anybody want to try one?
We also make range of activities for every teacher in the district, elementary districts, to use in the regular classroom, things that they can try when they
don't
have any teeth. Well, does
anyone
have any questions about our presentation?
How do I get out of this?
You can't. That's a common question. I figured. Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Do you have a question?
Just an observation more than anything. First of all, again, thank you. One of the challenges that these professionals have with the rest of us in our professions in school is to have us all understand that the student's needs for these things are not indicative of a student's problem, in the sense that if you're in your own homes when you were raised, if you were to be quiet at dinner and you were to do this in a certain location and remember we're going to church, so here's how you're supposed to behave. For a long time, our culture has understood that to be a choice system that needed to be corrected. And what they're talking about through these systems is that acknowledging that this is what the brain and the body needs to do to be effective is to help teachers understand what kind of latitude is allowable in the classroom, and it's not a disruptive latitude. So, and it's the point I'd like to make.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have a second part of our presentation that's going to take a couple seconds.
I'm failing every test they're throwing at me.
Keep it.
Well, my little guy's not going to college.
So for the second part of our presentation, we want to talk about a couple more things that we have implemented in Cumberland Head and in Beekmantown Elementary, but I don't want to forget an introduction from somebody. I'm Tracy Gerard. I'm a physical therapist, and I've been practicing about 8 years now. So we're here on the second part to, we wanted to talk to you about we as OT and PT providers pushing into the kindergarten and first grade classrooms, both here, like I said, and at Beekmantown Elementary. These are motor groups that we're running, a lot of it as preventative kind of service, should try to get the kids in gear. These are done once a week for 30 minutes. Again, all of kindergarten, all of first grade, every teacher this year is participating. Each session is divided into a gross motor / sensory motor experience or warm up for the child. And then it's followed usually by a fine or a visual motor activity. This kind of just preps the body, as we know, now that we're all great learners of sensory. And so that way we're able to sit and attend and learn the skills that we need to learn to be successful. When we push into the classrooms, we're looking at fine motor skills, such as how they're holding their pencil, remediating that while we're there, cutting skills, writing, all different kinds of things that are necessary to be a good learner in the classroom. We also look at gross motor skills, so their postural control, how they sit at their desk, if they're a leaner, if they're a rester, how they coordinate the two sides of their body, and how they are able to integrate both sides of their body. So primarily more of the large muscle group. And then with all that, there's always sensory processing that goes on. There's always sensory integration activities that happen to help these kids get better prepared.
With our push-in model, we are able to assist the teachers in using strategies that can be implemented into the room via gross motor activity, fine motor activity, or sensory motor activity. Our goal is to help teachers and the students achieve their best learning environment, get the skills that they need. It's also a great way for our teachers to meet the RTI requirements. We work on the different tier levels, and hopefully with our intervention being in the classroom, teachers carry it out, and if it doesn't work, we go to tier two. If that doesn't work, we get to tier three, and then we say, you know what, it's time for this child to get services. And actually what we like to say is, and think about is, the sooner we get the child into services, kindergarten usually, the quicker we can get them off. We are working on the foundation skills that they need.
It's like early intervention, if you've heard that term, you know, birth to 3 years old. Well, many of these children that we have now in kindergarten have missed the early intervention period. They've missed the preschool experience. So they're coming into kindergarten with no exposure to anything. So we're starting basically early intervention in school age, basically is what we're trying to do.
So a lot of things that should be in place, the fine motor skills, the visual motor skills, the gross motor skills, are not in place. So when we ask our kindergartners to come in and sit at a table, and they have not been exposed to a lot of these activities, are they ready for school? No, they're not. So our job by doing this push in is helping the teachers get them ready, hopefully a little bit quicker. Instead of waiting a whole year, by pushing in once a week, we got 30 minutes, we're getting them closer to where they should be and being able to learn.
Or not having kids fall through the cracks and then see them again, a referral coming through in fourth grade and fifth grade, when unfortunately they've learned all the wrong ways of doing things. And that, you know, their brains are, I've learned the way I want to do it, I'm not changing, they're very resilient to making the change. So it's harder to work with those students as opposed to a kindergarten or first grade student who they're more moldable and you can, you know, work with them a little easier.
A lot of reasons that kids are coming to school nowadays without these skills that years and years ago we saw can be a variety of factors, environmental, the home environment they're coming from. Unfortunately, most of us come from two-parent families who have to work, so we are not staying home with our kids, so we're not playing with our kids, we're not kicking them out the door at 8 o'clock in the morning and saying, see you later on this afternoon for lunch, and they go out and they experience the world. Nowadays, our kids are sitting at home playing on computers or playing their video games and not exploring. By not exploring their bodies aren't learning about the environment. So it goes back to the vestibular system. If they're not running and jumping and playing and doing all those things that we did as children, they're not experiencing the world. So their body is saying, when we bring them to an environment where they have to, it's like, this is new, wait a minute, how do we handle this? Parents nowadays don't have time to sit down and let's cut, let's make a craft, let's make a Christmas decoration this time of the year. Because when you come home from work, it's, all right, let's cook dinner. If you've got homework to do with an older child, if it's a younger child, we'll go play and hang out while I get dinner, while I cook, while I do the dishes. Now it's bath time, now it's bedtime. They're missing out on all those pieces that we used to get years ago because we have, unfortunately, this hectic lifestyle that's not beneficial to our small children. Some of these kids may be coming in with a physical delay. They may have been ill as an infant, or they may have a medical handicap of some sort that prevents them from experiencing the world. Think about a child who's in a wheelchair. They don't get down and crawl around the floor like a normal child would. They miss that whole developmental piece of early childhood. So again, it relates into their academics as they get later on into life. They have to explore the world. Therefore, they can't relate the world. They can't relate to their body. They can't relate to the mind. If the mind isn't ready, if the body isn't ready to learn, the mind can't learn. It may be educational. The child didn't go to preschool. And they've been with grandma and with grandpa, who may not say, well, let's sit down, let's practice writing your name, let's draw circles, let's cut, let's paste. Because grandma and grandpa said, I raised my kids, and now I'm going to watch the grandkids, and all they do is they watch the grandkids, because they don't play with the grandkids. They don't get down the floor and crawl around with them and wrestle with them. And all those important things that, kids truly need to develop, and to develop that secureness, that tactile, vestibular system that we're talking about. They also may not have a secure home environment. A lot of our kids bring baggage into the school environment with them of, am I going to have a place at home tonight? Is there going to be heat in my house? Am I going to have dinner tonight? Are mom and dad going to be fighting tonight? So they're sitting in the school environment with all these things going through their heads. How do we expect them to learn if they can't be secure in their environment? By pushing into the classroom, we also get to spend a little time with these kids looking at how they move and how all these things have affected them. Do they really need direct PT services, or is it an exposure piece? Can we get in there and work with the kids a little bit and bring them up to par? Or do they truly need intense services to get them up to par with their peers? 30 minutes a day, once a week, isn't bad, but we rely on teachers, we have some fantastic ones, to follow through with us with what we're doing and what we're finding with the cushions. Is the teachers now coming to us, that was a great session, how else can we do that? Or, hey, we love what you did last week, so we did again, and they're seeing how it benefits their kids to get up and get moving. So one of the purposes of moving into the classroom is preventative services. If we can prevent all these kids who need to monitor our caseload by just spending a little extra time with them that they're not getting elsewhere, we may fulfill what they need, and they don't need us, and they don't come to us 3 years later and say, oh my God, how did this kid get missed? Because they can't sit in the chair, they can't attend, they're going to the bathroom every other 20 minutes to escape that school environment. So we're finding by pushing into the classrooms, we're improving the skills that these kids missed prior to coming into the academics, and it gives us a chance to kind of look at the kids and say, yes, they do need services, or no, do this with them, and I think you're going to see this result. And a lot of times that's what we're finding.
Some of the kids I know come in, and they do have a lot of the skills that are needed. By our pushing in, you're also making their foundation skills for learning much stronger. OTPT, it do affect children academically with reading, writing, and during math. You really see a lot of two components coming together and having an influence on their academics. Our goal here at Beekmantown Central School District is to build on the foundation skills for all our kids in all grade levels. If we want to have the best program, and we're going to have the best kids in this Clinton County School District. This is going to be the best. And you are giving us the time, and you're being very gracious in letting us go into the rooms and work with the kids, giving the best we can, and we're going to have great Beekmantown students. Yes, sir.
Did you say you started kindergarten, or is there any involvement in pre-K?
Not this year.
Not at this point, just strictly because of how inundated we are with adding even just the 17 classrooms that we have between the two buildings. We technically had to make 17 more spots in our schedules.
But it seems like you're going to, the earlier you start, the better off you'll be.
But that's just it. They're going to take care of bringing these kids in and breaking bad habits that they may have started with before they become ingrained in them. Unfortunately, when they get to fourth, fifth grade, what they've got works for them usually. It doesn't work for us academically. But they say, I'm great with it. I don't care if you can't read my writing or not. But the teachers are saying differently, but they've already ingrained that into their skills, and it's much harder to break those in an older child.
In
the pre-K, there are some options. Pre-K is run a little differently. The kids with special needs in there come out of CPSC. It's paid through the county, so a lot of those children have their needs met in that fashion. And I know through the grant, there's some different opportunities they have in there. For body was, I know there's yoga, and I'm quite sure there's OT that goes in, but it's a different funding source.
Well, as part of our other project that we just presented, like the different rings and movement activities were included in the pre-K, so they are going to be presented with the different strategies that they can use. I know in my UPK, I do collaborate with the classroom teacher there quite a bit, and she's learned a lot, and she's actually implemented a lot.
And then one other question, pre-K 1 day, pre-K half day, does that affect how you do it?
No, because the children with special needs, it's like an individual program, so it just happens. And the other piece, I believe, it happens regardless whether it's a full day or a whole day.
Okay, thank you.
And we have to thank Beaverton for allowing us to. This is a very proactive approach to working with our kids. Let's fix the problem before it's a serious problem in third grade. And now teachers are coming back going, how did they slip through the crack 3 years ago? What happened to this child? Versus reactive, okay, now we have a problem, now how do we fix it? We're fixing it hopefully before it gets to that point.
Because we do have that now. We do have a lot of those kids coming to us now, and they may have missed that 4 years ago. So that's why we wanted to do something like this.
The other one more thing that makes it beneficial to do it in elementary. Look at your academics. By the time a child reaches fourth grade, third grade now with the ELA exam, it's getting harder and harder for the kids to meet the needs. By our getting in there sooner, we're helping those foundation skills to build up quicker. Because fourth grade is tough to take a kid out of class to give them OT or PT. And it also gets a little bit more difficult to do a push-in model. A lot of our middle school and high school students, they struggle to get their OT in because they have a very, very busy schedule. So if we get them in at the ground floor, they do much better.
Does anybody have any other questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to go down to C. Gary, we're going to go to you next.
I'm going to be uncharacteristically brief. What I was hoping for. The one thought that I had after Mr. Amo had asked me last spring to think about some things that we could do with the Excel project, I reflected back on the first capital project that I've been involved in back in 2000, and actually a little prior to that. And I thought about how much things had changed between that time and now, in those 10 plus years, the emergence of Google. I mean, think about the time before we had Google, the emergence of YouTube, and all the video material that's available to students and teachers, the emergence of smartphones, on and on and on. That made me think that although that pace of change seems, in hindsight, to just be something that is normal, that rate of change between now and 10 years from now will seem slow. So in trying to prepare some of these suggestions for the board, I was trying to think out as far as I possibly could while trying to hit a moving target that's accelerating. So realizing that nobody knows what 2020 is going to look like now, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't try at least to think about what's best to do to try to prepare students for that environment. So that's kind of the approach I took. I'm hoping that I hit some of the target, and maybe more of it than I even knew. But the four elements, essentially, again, just to review for those who, I know I sent in the superintendent's packet kind of a breakdown, explanation, prioritization, I believe is what the board had requested. The first item, very quickly again, has been referred to as wireless, although it is more than wireless. It is the wired environment and the wireless environment. And essentially, if we think of our technology environment in the district as being a house, this is really the foundation of the house. Without this, it really doesn't matter what else we do, because we would need this type of thing to move forward with anything else. And really, what does wireless do for us? I mean, Devin was asking me before the meeting, without being prompted, is this wireless going to be everywhere? Would this wireless be everywhere? And I said, hey, yeah, everywhere. Well, would this be available to us, too? Well, absolutely. It's not for the staff. I mean, the staff's going to use it, no doubt about that. But this is to enable students to collaborate in ways that they just can't do now. This is allowing a classroom to extend beyond the walls of the classroom, for a science, a physics class to go to the ramps down by the Eagle Mart and conduct an acceleration test and analyze, discuss, collect information right there on the spot instead of having to wait to go to that place we call a lab. So those are things that are going to be enabled should the board decide to support that initiative. The second portion of it is a little bit harder to get one's mind around. And I tried my very best on page 2 of that handout to try to put words to a concept that really is very abstract. But essentially what it is putting more things in fewer boxes. And those fewer boxes are more powerful boxes. And on the user's end of things, making that a seamless transition. For those of you who use it, this is a very, very basic explanation for something that's much more complicated, but for those of you that are familiar with Google Email or Gmail, you go to my computer, you go to your computer, it looks the same no matter where you go. Virtualization, in a sense, is kind of like the user's desktop is Gmail, so no matter where you go, things look the same, and things are delivered to you exactly as they were from one machine to another. The benefit for the department and the district is much more work can get done taking the day-to-day drudgery, if you will, of supporting an environment that we currently have to do a different way. And I was hoping that was the explanation that would come through. It doesn't mean that there's tasks that suddenly disappear necessarily. It just means we can be more efficient about those tasks we choose to target. That was number 2. Number 3, I'm actually very excited thinking about this from a teaching perspective for what video on demand. Video on demand is a very generic term for this, but video on demand can provide a student and a classroom. Currently, we have a lot of teachers who ask us very frequently, is it possible to unblock a website so that I can show a video in my classroom for a French class, for example, a French performer singing a new top 20 hit in France. The amount of time it takes for us to identify the site, unblock the site, get that done for the teacher, we're doing that dozens and dozens and dozens of times a week. What video on demand would allow us to do is the teacher actually would be able to upload a link to a video. We would actually, I don't want to say own the video, but we would possess that video on our servers so that when Devin is out from class on one day, he can log in and on his mobile device, he can log in on a lab and see that video that was shown in class over and over and over and over again. It doesn't matter that he missed the class. He's seeing it when it's on demand. He's seeing it when it works for him. The teacher can show a DVD without having the physical DVD. Those of you that have been teachers know when you have an asset that can't be shared easily, it becomes golden. And whether that's a videotape or a DVD, have it say, well, I'm going to use it on Tuesday, but I need it on Wednesday, and we have to coordinate. Everybody can use the same stuff we have. And not just buying new things, it means recycling old, tried and true materials we have, whether those are videos we downloaded from the internet, whether those are DVDs that we've, of our own videos that we've taken. It also allows us to distribute cable television to anywhere. And it also means that some of those same materials that are available in the district are available to students and parents outside of the district within their own homes. So we're actually not just delivering in the school, we're delivering past the walls of the school. The last item has to do with this building, actually. It's kind of appropriate that we're here. Diane is a very capable administrator. She has eyes in the back of her head, but not all over the building. And unfortunately, although this is referred to as a country club sometimes, there are things that do happen here at Cumberland Head that Diane, I'm sure, and as well as buildings and grounds would like to know is going on. And video surveillance, although it's seen as a big brother type of thing, it really isn't. We have assistant principals and principals here that can tell you that without it, their jobs are made much more difficult. And with it, they can settle a lot more problems than causes. Parents who would stick up for their children would, in a heartbeat, when shown a video of what is actually occurring in the school, have far less to say when shown with material. So it becomes a preventative thing. It's also a safety and security issue. But those are the 4 items. I put them in the order that I did because I truly do feel that to do 2, 3, 4, you have to do 1. There's a value in all of them, but it's obviously up to the board to decide how it wants to prioritize it at all. So.
Richard?
My question is, I understand about the the video, remote video, where you might not have that teacher. Did one of these applications to allow us not to have to buy hundreds of thousands of dollars of books every year? Is there one that we can download those without having to throw all these hundreds of thousands of dollars at?
Well, that's a very good question. I would say in the short term, absolute short term, the answer to that right now is no. Because, as Superintendent Amo and I have had many discussions about this, the textbook manufacturers are cash cows. They know that we depend on that product because there is no viable alternative that we have ready at hand. Once we're able to provide a wireless environment where students perhaps can have their own handheld devices, shared devices, whatever they happen to be, textbook manufacturers know that their revenue streams are going to start drying up very quickly if there are alternatives to what they have to offer. So I believe it's Virginia. I don't remember it for sure, but in the social studies curricular area, I believe it's in Virginia, they are piloting electronic textbook delivery. At our conference in Lake Placid this summer, we were told by Regent Dawson or one of the other representatives that states are now starting to allow districts to use textbook money to purchase software and services as a replacement because they are essentially the same thing. So, unfortunately, not the short answer, but the complete answer to your question is that would give us the ability to reallocate monies that are being used now in a very inefficient way and provide students with resources that perhaps are not only more timely, but more relevant to them in different ways. Special ed people talked about sensory inputs and responses. Well, students looking at a textbook, flatline. Students looking at a website, an interactive video, a three-dimensional model, things start firing. Neurons start firing their brains in ways that they don't when they're staring at a piece of a dead tree. So tell me if I'm wrong, though. You're here for a reason, I suppose. So anyway, so the answer to that question is this is my least favorite meeting so far. So I believe the answer to that is yes. I think in those 20 years out that I'm looking into my crystal ball for what it's worth, I think we're going to see far fewer textbooks, far fewer middle school students weighted to the ground with backpacks full of books, and far more students carrying lightweight devices that will probably be. I mean, 10 years ago, we were spending $2,500 per computer in the district. We're buying them off state contract for less than $500, and that's in the span of 5 years. And many of these devices that we're using these days, iPads, iPhones, smartphones, didn't exist. So what is that going to look like? And I think you're going to find them more and more.
I think what Regent Nelson and I talked to also said he's talking 4 or 5 years.
Right. Well, and this, what this does for us, I certainly don't want to sell this as tomorrow we will be that district. What it does is position us to become that district. And without laying that foundation, we're, in many ways, I'd love to receive compliments from other districts that say we're ahead of where they are, but we're not ahead of the curve. We're certainly not ahead of the curve. We're treading water in a very churning environment that we're doing our best to guess what the next trend is going to be and what's the best way to reach our students. And I don't think technology is the end-all be-all. I certainly don't. It is appropriate where it needs to be, but more and more the way to reach our students in ways that they haven't been reached before is to employ things that are familiar to them. So.
Any other questions for Gary?
I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
You may have more. Okay, we met with Tetra Tech at the operations committee, and the majority of the board was there, so we kind of set them free and let them get back to Albany. And they presented a lot of material, and we had a good discussion, and I think most of the board members are going to think about what we discussed and come back with some type of a priority. But does anybody have any further questions for Dan or anybody while we're here, or comments to make right now?
Nothing about that. I do have a question for Dan.
Yeah.
What happened with the elementary and FARS for that complaint we had last month there at the end of our meeting, FARS for the rooms temperature-wise?
I'm a little hard here.
The rooms, the temperature, the cold temperature in the rooms there that we brought to our attention at the end of our last meeting, what happened there?
Oh, you mean how do I address it?
Is it okay? I think we talked about it.
Yeah, certainly. I went back the very next morning, went over the number of rooms that were provided by Shane, and checked it all out. And we really did come up with a lot of inconsistencies.
It did come up?
Did not.
No, it didn't. The temperature was pretty constant throughout.
Yes. Well, I did talk to a couple of teachers, and it was 57 degrees in one room and 62 in the other. So somebody does need to look into that further.
Certainly.
We can run reports on the individual rooms as well.
On that same note, do you think that any of that could be the fact that, like, low spots in the system and, you know, just having to go through and flush them or something like that?
No, most of the time what you have is, it's not a continuous problem in individual rooms. What you have a mechanical system that at different times, one part or the other may, you know, loosen up, just need a little adjusting. And when it's brought to our attention on particular rooms, we look at them. We send one of the maintenance guys to go down and adjust the damper or tighten the wing up or whatever it takes, and the situation's repaired. Not saying that every room's perfect, but when we're notified that there is a room that the temperature is down on, we can review it. We can see the history, the temperature history in that particular room, and we can see the breakdown pinpoint to the time of the occurrence, and once we're brought to our attention, to the room repair.
So we don't have individual thermostats in each room then?
No.
Okay, that's probably it. The other question, sir, is the wall where you were talking about, you know, off the gym and everything. If we're gonna do work like say fix a door or something around here, does that wall need to be addressed before we do anything else? Is it, like I say, if I fix a door over here or I fix a partition, when you do the wall, is that gonna cause trouble for something you already did? Structurally?
No.
Okay. Thanks.
Just a question on running your reports. Are you able to do a query where you're able to ask, let's say the room temperature you wanted at 68. Is it possible to do a query for those rooms that aren't meeting those standards that you want, that would kick out a report that says rooms thus and such?
I'm not aware of that, no.
Okay. Thank you.
Richard?
Again, I know we have radiators, and I don't know how that compares to hot air or anything, but is it inconsistency because of the fact that you can't individually control each room with a thermostat, and then it's just a system?
No, there is a thermostat in each room that has a sensor to it.
Yeah.
But when you say thermostat, I was under the impression that you were meaning that it could be adjusted at that particular room, in that particular room.
Right, you can't.
No.
Okay. But are there other schools or that have that where you can adjust it per room? Is that possible?
Less and less.
Yeah. So basically, if we wanted to have a regulation per room, we'd have to get away from a boiler.
You'd
have to be hot air or something, right? You can go back. Okay. So part and parcel of the system is something you can't really change. In the fact that you're going to have it, it's going to fluctuate. Part of the problem is with the system the way it is, it's going to fluctuate up and down within parameters.
Correct.
Okay.
Within the established parameters.
Right.
That which meet the requirements of SCDA.
Any other questions? Okay, move on to the superintendent's report.
I'll pass. I have nothing to add. This is a full meeting.
Mary?
And we have a couple of quick things. We just received a phone call today from Kevin as a follow-up to our comptroller's audit from last February through April. He was asking for an exit meeting, which will be next week, Monday or Tuesday. So if there's anyone on the board or the audit committee that would like to participate in that meeting, I have some times available. If you can get with me after the meeting tonight, I'll stay, or call me tomorrow at the office. So that looks like that will be getting wrapped up soon. The other item, a very minor thing, IRS has announced that the mileage reimbursement rate is going to be 51 cents for 50 cents a mile. No big deal. It changes every year. And our board policy that we adopt every July is that we follow the IRS rates, so just to let everybody know of that change. A bit of a good news item is the Medicaid billing, which has been under construction for over a year with the process being changed. An email came out saying that that's going to be opened up and we will begin to be billing retroactively back to September of this year. That's the good news is we can start billing. The bad news is we're basically forfeiting last year. They changed the rules after the year ended in such a way that we cannot go back and redo what we did to meet the new rules. So the good news is going forward, the Medicaid billing, the spigot should open back up again. The other item that I have, I believe Steve will be getting a letter soon. BOCES has indicated to us early estimates of the surplus check from the 09-10 closeout is going to be approximately $62,000, which is a decrease from last year. Last year's surplus was about $177,000. So that's the other item to be on the watch for. That letter. That's all
okay.
That I have.
Okay, thank you. Devin? Oops, I'm sorry. Richard,
just quickly on the note from both teams, all the schools are getting, are seeing less money back this year. It's been a downtrend for a while as they work with their budgets and they try to cut them closer. Well, as they do, then we're getting less back. So
right.
It's going to probably continue that way. Just
okay.
Time for me to do what I'm here for.
Subtle, Devin. That was good.
Well, upon request, I'm going to add more of the arts than Darren even here. I've been chastised by Ms. Ryan, the choir teacher, for not saying enough about music and whatnot, so. Of course, I wasn't here the last meeting that we had, recovering from a meniscus repair. But quite a ways back, November 19th and 20th, that weekend was the Area All-State Music Festival, which we always have a large number of students be accepted into. And then later on December 2nd through the 5th was Conference All-State, which is a bit more prestigious. And we usually do have a couple, we did have we had a couple students this year. And making a little note for our Jewish students, Hanukkah was the 1st through the 9th. I don't know if you don't have any. No? Okay. See, Monday was the middle school concert. Bring that up because that was the debut of the Voicemails, the men's ensemble group, which I'm a part of. And it's
very well
middle
done.
School boys on.
Very well done. I was.
Yeah, I saw a couple of you guys there.
We got great to do.
How dare you not come? You can see us again, though, on Thursday at the high school concert. Let's see. Sports. I'll do what I know. Boys basketball. The JV is 2-0 right now. It'd be Shazy and NCCS. The varsity, 0-2, unfortunately. Both tough losses, tough first halves, strong second halves. Came back to almost win both. Lost to NCCS by 1 point. The girls basketball, they're a very young team, the varsity team, and they're hopefully going to get much better as the season goes on, and then as the year goes on. They beat Chase E in their first game. The top scorers of that game were actually two eighth graders, Shannon Ryan and Grace Kelly, on the varsity team, so that's pretty cool. And they lost to NCCS, who's always a strong team. Other than that, Wacky Wednesday's coming up, which is always everyone's favorite. Unfortunately, I won't be able to participate in the volleyball tournament.
Don't be able to be wacky.
So I was very upset about that, because that's really what I look forward to. But that's all I have for you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, under minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on November 30th. By Richard.
Carol.
Second by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendation dated 12/14/10.
Second.
By Colleen and by Stan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Under B, resolved that Superintendent of School recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations dated 12/14/10, and you have an addition in front of you. Let's see, I didn't hear that. Who made the motion? Richard and Carol. Does everybody have time to look at the other paper? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Personnel. Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to accept the following resignation on the date indicated. By Richard.
Second.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Other appointments. Resolved that the Board of Education appoint Eric Bell to serve as school district treasurer of this district during the 2010-11 fiscal year at an annual salary of $45,000, prorated, effective January 3rd of 11, with an indemnity amount of $1 million.
Motion.
Motion by Karen.
Second.
Second by Pauline. Discussion?
Yes, I'd just like to say I think you picked out a very knowledgeable fellow, and I will tell people here that I was against the salary part before we went into executive session, but I have changed my mind on it, and I will go along this time as well during the discussion.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number B. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the following curriculum lead teachers for the 2010-11 school year as indicated. By Richard.
Second.
Second by Carol. Any questions on these? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? C. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following winter athletic appointments for the 2010-11 season.
Motion.
By Pauline.
Second.
By Leonard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? B. Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Move the list.
By Richard.
Second.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? E. Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointments beginning on the date indicated.
Motion.
By Colleen.
Second.
By Karen. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve an unpaid leave of absence for Jennifer Goodwin as an elementary teacher after her maternity leave, which will begin on or about 1/29/11 until 5/14/11.
Second.
All right. Motion by Richard. I don't mind it. Second by Carol. Yeah, that is gone with the policy number 9520.2. Article 10, if anybody needs it. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Number four, resolved that the superintendent of the school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the request for a sabbatical leave for Scott Danville for the 2011-12 school, contingent upon Mr. Danville being accepted into a Department of Energy fellowship program.
Motion.
Second.
Karen. Second by Leonard. Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education designate Eric Bell, school district treasurer, to sign all checks of this district during the 2010-11 fiscal year, with Mary LaValle Blaine acting in his absence, effective 1-3-11.
Motion.
Richard.
Second
by Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policy.
Motion.
By Richard. Second by Carol. This is the final reading on this. It's been in our packet. All in favor?
Aye.
Excuse me. Opposed?
I just have one question regarding this. Wish AZ, is there any of that equipment that anybody in our other either buildings could use? Because we've had equipment sitting there forever. Is it something we just don't need? Or is it something that maybe if someone knew we had it, they'd take it?
I don't know. Dan keeps pretty much track of that.
Dan, we're questioning with the supplies, materials, et cetera, that we have stored in a Westchester building. Is there a way for other districts, if we don't do it already, is there a way for other districts to know what we have?
No, I meant mine.
Oh, yours.
Our district, but I don't have a problem with that either.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like I'm saying, is there anybody that needs extra seats or broken seats or anything that we have at Westchester because there's hundreds of them?
We pull out of the West AZ storage area quite frequently.
Okay.
And yes, we do have a running list of what's available up there.
Glad you brought it up, but at some point, with all that stuff we have there, could some of that be made available to other districts that we're never going to use?
And what do we do with surplus? I'm thinking basically we're thinking about a surplus. If there are surplus items at West AZ, well, how do we go about making that available for the general, either other districts or the general public?
I know in the past what we've done is we've brought forth a proposition to donate the property upon the request of another district. If they're looking for something like we did in with the horse coverage back a little while ago.
It's just something about if we knew like that we had extra chairs and tables and stuff, and then like say like both teachers or someone could use them, and at least you could say, well, I know we have some if you need one.
Right.
Are we comfortable doing that?
Sounds like we're using what we have up there. Karen?
Part of our discussion that we had at our audit committee, our purchasing agent, Mary, is interested to know what we have there in the event that, for example, let's pretend I work for Beatman Town and I need a file cabinet. I might issue a purchase order because I don't know what is in the West AZ building. So I believe on Mary's list of things to do, she would like to be up to date on what's there in the event she can share and help the members of our district with things that might be available. And if it is just excess, because, you know, things do accumulate over time, that maybe then we could address. I remember one time there was like a, during nice weather, an auction kind of thing, where you went around and put bids on things that was just surplus things that were no longer of any value. But that would be very helpful. But I also understand that it's on our list of things to do.
Yeah, I think you're describing inventory. Are you thinking inventory of the items that are out there?
Yeah.
Just to get an idea of what we do have.
Yeah. Any other questions? The financial. Resolved that the superintendent of the school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the payment for a health services fee to the Plattsburgh City School District for the 2010-11 school year in the amount of $19,114.20 for 36 students, at $530.95 per pupil. Motion by Richard.
Second.
Second by Carol. And if you looked at that comparison in your packet that we received from the superintendent, you can see how much this has gone up per year. It's quite amazing now. how the number of students has declined and the cost per pupil has skyrocketed.
I think that's the same kind of format Bolton does.
I don't know.
The more kids that participate, the cheaper it is, the less it gets you.
Could very well be. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay, under additional items, attendance at the School Board Association meetings on January
6th.
Let Joanne know if you can make it and what you want for a meal.
The same old stuff.
Prime rib chicken, haddock, or vegetarian?
I think I'll go haddock just to shock everybody.
Haddock.
Chicken.
Okay, we also have discussion on the, you had information in your packet on the new bus transportation plan, TransFinder.
Can you do a quick rundown on it, you know, in English?
In English?
I try. Shame, we're ready to do English now with this software. In short, I'll take a first stab at it, and you can give me my grade later. In short, the TransFinder system that we put in your packet is to give you both a budgetary implication and explain what the budget means and what it might otherwise, what you might not know it means. The TransFinder application itself, as the quote was put in your packet, has since been reduced above. I apologize, I left the document on my desk, but about $500 less than the total package that you have in your board packet. It's $500 cheaper. When you add it all up, they've done better on their deal. What do you get? Well, basically, they're saying if the board would be able to see its way to support the making the transition between this system, which works with our current VersaTrans system, they'll waive the first 2 years of maintenance fee on it. So it's like $2,500 a year. So it's $5,000. They're saying you're covered. If you use the system, we're not going to charge you for that, and we normally would. Post this month, I believe I'm correct, Shane?
Yes.
Then we would be maintaining the VersaTrans service charge, and even if you went to this system later, you'd be paying you'd be paying the service charge because it's a new year and they can't. So it's $5,000 now. I hate to act like it's immediate, but there it is. It's $5,000 in saving. In addition, there's 2,500. Where am I getting my 2,500? There's a quick memory check for me.
Support maintenance fee.
Yeah, you have the document in front of you. I'm doing this from memory. Okay, so what is it? What either one of the systems does currently? VersaTrans is what we currently use. The challenge we have with VersaTrans as a monitoring or a bus routing plan for our district is that it doesn't talk to any of our other systems, which simply means that if there's a change in an emergency card at a building level, we think we've covered all of our bases. When the parent calls in and says, oh, by the way, my phone number's changed or my address has changed, the school will input into the computer, our current pupil personnel system, those changes. The bus people never hear of them because the systems don't talk to each other. The one of the major advantages of a TransFinder is that the systems will talk to each other, cutting down a lot of duplication of double and triple entering and delays of time, such as occurred while I was a few minutes late tonight with a student, Mr. Knight and others can attest to this, that Shane gets a call at the last minute of the day where I'm putting my coat on. He gets a call, we've lost a child. What does that mean? Well, the bus driver says, the parent has called and said, my child didn't get off the bus. So we go through a series of making phone calls to all of the bus drivers to figure out if the child get on the bus or not get on the bus. We first clear up that issue. Did you catch a ride with a different rider? Nope. So nobody's accounted for the child being on the bus. The camera system has helped us before, but in this situation, it couldn't help us. So the question becomes, with a system such as TransFinder, there'd be a much faster and quicker response to driver to driver, parent to the office, office to the drivers, on determining, in this particular instance, where is this child? Now the end of the story, by the way, is a good ending. The child was watching an event and thought she had cleared it with a dad, and they weren't seeing eye to eye on that clearance issue, and she finally made call. Yeah, but that's one of the features. Now, Shane, I'm going to, if you're comfortable, please, the other advantages of the system, if you would describe those, I'd appreciate it.
Well, that's the biggest advantage in the prompt. I've been looking at the systems because VersaTrans is very, very hard to work with. It does have some neat features with it, but it's a logistics-based program, if you will, where it doesn't take into account that there's turnarounds and different things that we encounter as bus drivers. So that, we're always like tweaking the routes. I guess I don't know if that's a good word, tweaking, but we're always kind of tweaking the routes to make that happen. Because VersaTrans does have an option where you can do like a one-touch routing system where you take a group of kids, you know, like I'll put all your people out there and everybody the routes. The only problem with that is you know, if it's a West JZ, I'll route it up through Altona, you know, that type of thing. So you're always playing with it. And again, it's very hard to work with where, you know, you're constantly calling tech support. It's not something you can do on a daily basis. I've been looking at a lot of the systems. TransFinder seems to be one that took like real people like Gary and said, okay, let's make something work. For instance, if a child, a parent wants to know an exact time, I can get with Bobby and say, Bobby, what time are you at this particular house? And we can actually input that in. So when we send out the card, you know, to the student, it'll say that you're there at 7:02 in the morning. With VersaTrans, it takes all the accountability into, you know, all the logistics and comes up with the time. So if I wanted to change that to give a parent a more accurate time, I would have to adjust the road speed. How long do we stop at a bus stop for? You know, take all those and manually change all that to get the same accomplishment. Another neat advantage that the gentleman showed Gary and I was if there's a particular place on a road that there's a curb and the bus driver comes in and says, you know, I'm having a problem at this stop, or the parent calls and says it's an unsafe stop. Realistically, rather than one of us actually running out there and looking at it, they have this thing with Google Street Earth that will actually come, you can bring up the street and you would be able to do a 360 view of that bus stop, rather be in front of the house or at the it's a bigger version of MapQuest, yes.
First question is basically a wash and toss.
There's a little bit of an up. The difference is 19, well, less than 19.
It would be less than 19. You know, with the transportation aid, we get a roughly around 80% transportation aid. So that's
fine. I'm okay with that. The one issue I do have, though, I've actually been behind buses that have gone someplace, and the issue that bothers me, not with the system, but how we deal with it as a school. It pulls up to a house and there's three kids getting out and it takes them 7.5 minutes to get all on the bus. And that's part of our problem too. And is there a limit to how long you have to wait for kids? You know what I'm saying? There are
waiting for them to come onto the bus.
Yeah, the first kid comes out right off. Then 2 minutes later the other kid comes and, my brother will be right out and then 4 more minutes.
Oh yeah.
And I think we might have, you know, support doing it, but I think we might have to address how long do you stay at a house? Because that's affecting, I think, our length.
We kind of do the drivers do now, kind of make a judgment call on
how long the wait time is. Yeah.
The last thing, the least productive, unfortunately, and it's interesting, and I'm glad you mentioned that for a public forum, the least productive thing to do is, after waiting, start down the road and get a call to the office. Sure. You never came to pick up my child. The bus having to go all the way back around the route to go back to that location. That happens more frequently than we'd like to really admit. So TransFinder won't fix that.
No,
VersaTran won't fix that, but I'm glad you mentioned it.
Yeah, no matter what you do, no matter how much you tweak it.
Right.
If they take 10 minutes,
you have no control on the human factor. No.
Okay.
A couple of questions I have. Are there any other districts in our area using TransFinder?
Yes, there is. There was a, along with that, I don't know if you shared it with, but there is several schools in the area that.
There is a linking list.
Maybe I missed it.
No, you didn't. There is, but there is. I did fail to put it in
the off the top of my head.
I was just more curious if other districts, because lots of times it's not your neighbors using it, you run into difficulty.
See, with VersaTran,
it's
local
schools.
Yeah, it's a reference list of those who use the system, but they're not targeted to local schools as on the reference list.
I can provide that to you. He did provide that to Gary and I.
Was Northeastern on that?
Northeastern was one of them. There was a few in there was like Chattagay, I think Malone, one or two in Essex County.
Two other quick things to point out too. TransFinder was actually the transportation software that Mr. Hobbs had recommended. At the time we purchased VersaTrans, there was a discussion about which package to go with. Mr. Hobbs felt that TransFinder was the better choice. Dr. Suzano felt that VersaTrans was, and that's how we ended up going with VersaTrans. So there was an earlier discussion about this package a few years ago. The program has gotten better since then, even more so. But the second piece, I don't know if Dan shared, or excuse me, Shane shared this with the board. There's also a module that we would be able to make use of that would share information about the bus routes with the community, which would cut down significantly on the number and types of calls that Shane receives now. What bus number am I on? What time is it there? What route does it take? All of that information we would be able to literally extract automatically from TransFinder and post it on the district website for the community to see. So that's something we do not have any ability to do right now.
The only comment I have is I'm hoping parents and school officials have access with password to this, because looking at both sides of the issue, if you had a custodial problem, they may want to know the exact time that the child is dropped off. So that was a concern that hit me as I read that feature.
And that's not trying to make it into something different, but when we're having a discussion about our student information system and our current evaluation of changing from StarWeb to a possible successor, some of the things that the successors allow us to do is very clearly define roles that custodial parents have with individual students. Do they have pickup rights? Do they have reporting rights or being able to receive a report card? Because those systems will be able to talk with TransFinder, that type of information will be passed along to those who have rights to see it and not to those who don't. So those types of issues are those two systems coming in at similar times would make that issue a lot easier to deal with.
And one other question, more out of curiosity. I noticed that you're provided with a GPS handheld item for a three-week period. I'm assuming that's to set up your routes.
That's to set up the existing routes now.
And do you think you're going to be able to do that in that amount of time? It said $150 a day each day following that.
Well, absolutely. I think it would send enough for each bus. So it would just be a matter of a day where you're driving along, and you stop, you would press this particular button, and that would record that this was a bus stop. So when they take the information back, laid over the mapping, they'll know that, a particular bus stopped at this house and what bus it was and what time it was.
How many buses do we have in our fleet, roughly?
We have 41 of them being buses, two of them being vans.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
This is two questions, I guess. Question number one is a Karen question. Did we budget for this?
in this year's budget? And if not, is this something they're interested in doing this year?
Two answers to those two questions. The item itself, Transfinder, wasn't listed as a budget item in the budget. That, however, is a different answer than does this current budget, can this current budget support it? The answer to that one is yes. That's the answer.
Supports the system.
Yes. Can support the system.
That system, yeah. It wasn't known, we wouldn't known at the time we built the budget that Transfinder and it was the one, but the...
No, yeah.
The funding...
Just interject here, sorry, but... You know, it wasn't like we're out looking for a software. I mean, we've been, I have been looking at other ones. It's just Transfinder's been called, Ring Long with Bus Boss, and some of these other people. They just so happen to have a special, and which caught with the Gary recently talking about how StarWeb's going away, and that there's, and no matter who has a system, whatever system they get, does a copy of person trans, I think is why I brought it forward to, Superintendent Able for to be considered, and especially now at that cost.
What is that final cost going to be? I know you said that we're going to get reimbursement and stuff, but what's that final cost going to be to us?
Mary, I probably have to look at you for a little bit of help. My guesstimation was, after state aid, we're looking at a little less than $1,900. Would be our share of the cost. And then if we're
then after 2 years.
We're actually looking at a plus because if then you would save $2,500 per year for the next 2 years, which is $5,000. The following year, we would not have to account for the $4,000 maintenance fee that we're paying for VersaTrans right now. So you're looking. That quite savings over.
Is it going to be reimbursable by the state each year, as far as for the extra amount, this maintenance fee and stuff, or is this year?
That unfortunately, Leonard, I don't know. I don't know if we get back on the $4,000 that we're saving. We're paying the maintenance fee now anyway.
That maintenance fee is an aidable contractual expense under the transportation budget codes. And I have had conversations with a lady at SED on transportation specifically with this. I even told her the names of the software we're currently using, the names we're looking at using. Do we need written permission? And she said, no. Yes, it's aidable. As long as you have budget money, you can push this through. The way I'm looking at it, you mentioned net cost. I haven't calculated those numbers of what the gross cost is minus the 80 that we expect to come back. It's around 80%.
That was what I came up with for around
80%. But basically, the outlay was
$995.
Yeah. That's come down a little bit today, so let's say it's $9,500. But that means that with that, we're not paying the $2,500 for the next 2 years. They're giving that to us. So I'm kind of saying, okay, there's $5,000 that we would pay anyway. Actually, more than $5,000 because to VersaTrans, we're paying $4,000, a little more than $4,000 per year. So right now, if we do nothing, we're going to pay $8,000 over the next 2 years with the same program. If we move to this, the next 2 years, it's part of the cost of this. So it's going to cost, say, $9,500 now to go to the new program for the next 2 years. Unless you start pulling in other things that I don't know what's available, extra things. But apples to apples, that program to this program, $9,500, we're going to pay $8,000 to VersaTrans over the next 2 years for our annual maintenance fees. So it's an extra $1,500 to switch to a program that talks to the new replacement for the STAR program that has all the people information. And that $1,500 falls under your transportation.
Just clarification, I may have misunderstood this. Do we pay VersaTrans $2,000 a year for maintenance?
$4,000 a year. $4,000 per year.
$4,000 per year.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you.
So after everything's up, set, and running, the idea was the new program has actually a lower annual maintenance cost than the existing program.
That's what you're saying. Yes, Richard?
We're talking about bus stops. I was wondering about the liability of that. Say bus driver stops. they even up to 10 minutes at a stop, and the kid doesn't come out. Are we required by the state to go back and get a limit? I mean, to me, there has to be a limit of what you have to do, because, like, the size of our district, we're looking at groups over an hour now. Yeah. And if, you know, you get a couple of those in the room, they could possibly miss the school call out. Come on, I'd say 20 minutes.
Well, I can, you know, speak upon, like, if we have people that do it all the time.
Right.
You know, then obviously, you know, we try to be nice and we try to be accommodating, and we're here for the students. No matter what, we're here for the students. So they call once. Yes, I'll do everything I can to get the student here. They call again. Yeah, I'll still get the student here with, you know, a conversation with the parent. Third time, I'm not sending the driver back.
Okay,
you know, it's okay. We've helped. You know, you have a chance. But he, you know, a lot of times, if they do come with a hardship, you know, we don't have a vehicle or whatever, then I'll get in the van myself and go get the student. And I have a nice conversation with the student. You know, the, you know, we're here at the same time every day. You know, bus drivers are very, very punctual. They're better than the mail service.
You know, you haven't had to accept a problem with it.
What's that?
You haven't had a really big problem with it?
No, we don't have huge problems with that. No. We do have problems, like you do say, where you'll get there and the child, you know, mom or dad will be one minute, while they're being dressed. And if it's brought to my attention, it's usually handled, you know, with a phone call, follow-up phone call, so.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Amon, you have a comment?
Just a quick comment. With one of the features of the TransFinder that maybe others have as well, but is the capacity to project out what your most efficient bus routes would be. And I say that with a caveat that as diligently as Shane and other drivers are constantly asking, is this the shortest, best way to do what we're doing? And they cut the corners and save as much as they can where they can. The greatest amount of savings, not that this is for chew on at some future point, the greatest amount of savings is going to come in determining, does everybody get door-to-door service? And it's a elephant in the room, but the idea is on a street, is walking to the corner okay, or is turning up the road, stopping, waiting, the preference? Because if we're talking from an efficiency point of view, just efficiency, not politically, not from a cultural point of view, the community's cultural idea that you should get transportation to every door. If that is what we are understanding is happening, then we can only get so efficient with any system. But I just wanted to point out that this system will give the district ideas. Doesn't have to act on them, but there are ideas to cut down costs by changing some locations of pickups and drop-offs.
So what you're saying, okay, you can put the pin down on the map, it'll tell you how many kids are within 100 yards of it.
Yep, and that information could inform, if the board is so interested, your thinking on what you want to do with that information.
Well,
that's all.
Well, me, it depends. If you're going down the military turnpike, you don't have a lot of options. If you're in Thunder Bay Heights,
there are different spots with options. That's
right.
That's
okay,
all.
Okay, well, my other question is this. I don't know if it's Gary or Shane. I have no problem with going to TransFinder, but my question is this something you want to do immediately, or do you want to wait till we switch from Starweb and do it all at once?
Well, again, I think it's something that we should take advantage of now because of the savings that we have. The second fold question of it is, you know, part of it is you kind of want to run both systems parallel for a little while, and if we wait to do it till the next budget season, again, that would be another $4,000 cost to the maintenance fee for person trades.
I understand clearly. I was looking at that. I was looking at it. The work of doing employees. That's what I was thinking about. But
okay, so
it's
the,
not available later.
Right. No. Yeah. So the only way this is really financially feasible is if we were to act on this today. So if somebody, did you have another question? Or you have,
well, I just wanted to comment, being a mother and a long time ago. With our weather conditions in the North Country, I truly, for me, would not be in favor of having centralized bus stops, just for that reason. I was fortunate. My mother lived near the road, so you know, Joey and Carrie had to walk a long distance down our driveway, and I would hate to see children having to walk to bus stops because of our weather conditions.
But on your point, how far would be acceptable? Like 20 yards, 30 yards? Let's say like a place like Thunderbird Heights, they have three or four roads. You can go away just three trailers from that corner. You can have 25 houses. So I mean, you know, like if walking here to the door is all right, they might be able to pick up 10 kids.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can do it this way and that way. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but,
and we'll cross that bridge maybe later.
Yeah, but I understand, like, where you live, I see the problem because you go down the road. Yeah, like a Thunderbird Heights, the trailer park, and all the roads come together, and within 30 yards of here, there's 20 kids. So if they only have to walk from here to that door, I could probably live with that, but not, you know, across the street or something. So it's a, but that's... Okay. Trying to find you to do that, though.
And that's something we can do down the road,
yeah.
So am I... The opinion that we want to make a resolution tonight, back in this tonight, because it's our last meeting of the year.
Is that...
I'm okay.
Okay, Joanne, we're getting in here.
Okay.
You have a way to go at this? I can start it.
No, no.
The resolution.
We have motion.
That's the motion to it. I'm starting the language, if this will work for everyone.
See what it says here.
To authorize the superintendent to enter into a contractual agreement with the company as per amended contract offer. That speaks to the reduction of the 500 or whatever. Effective on or before the date to take advantage of the savings. That's my best effort at that.
Joe, you okay with that?
I'm sorry.
Ah, I caught you. Do you need one of those little cushions to sit on? Joanne, get it, and let's see what she has.
Yeah, what was the cost, you know?
$9,995, unless
there
was a change.
There was a
change
today.
It's about $500 less, but I didn't have the exact number that was what I was looking for, Karen. So it's at, with the amended contract proposal.
With the amended contract proposal.
By December 31st.
That was the date. So basically, authorizing the superintendent to enter into a contract, the proposal to vote on, is authorize the superintendent to enter into an agreement with TransFinder for services as specified in their amended proposal, effective the date that is needed, the 31st, I think.
By the 31st.
Because beyond that, it'll cost the extra dollars that we're trying to save.
And expend, therefore, someone will have to see.
Yep, well, that's the contract, that's the amount, the amended contracted amount. Yeah. Does that work?
Yes.
That'll work, okay.
Motion. Okay, the motion will be by Richard.
Second
by Kathy.
You got the three of them, pick whatever you want. Take Kathy, you
have them. Okay, I did. Did you get the motion?
To authorize the superintendent to enter into a contractual agreement with TransFinder for services as specified in their amended proposal dated, I think it was dated today, 12/14, and expend the sum not to exceed whatever it was by 12/31/10.
Okay. You've got the motion by Richard.
Second
by Kathy. Need a roll call, I assume?
I would. Okay.
Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong?
Yes.
Kathy Buckley?
Yes.
Leonard King?
Yes.
Dan Kroski?
Yes.
Richard Levine?
Yes.
Ed Marin? Carol Race?
Yes.
Pauline Stone?
Yes.
Steve Trombley?
Yes. Okay. Did anybody else have any additional items for discussion?
I have a quick one. It doesn't need action. I didn't want to bring it up. There's a new bolster that's been created. You know, we were talking about last month about the superintendent brought up that the time it takes to verify
residency.
Well, they have created a poster, and I would recommend to the board that in the future time that we join that poster to take that off the Because they would have someone that could physically...
They will do it?
They will physically go to the houses and verify.
Oh.
So, just so you know that, as you bring it up, it has come forward that it's one of the new coasters, and as soon as it's available, you know, I'll give you a heads up, and, because we've been saying, you know, it just takes so much time, and it's going to be offered, what they're telling me for this next year.
Okay. Anybody have anything else? Okay, moving on to public comment. Anybody have to have a comment for the board? Okay.
Were we supposed to, was this for our information only?
That's for information right now. We don't really have to act on that until
I'll keep bringing it back in March with the timeline. As the timeline gets closer,
we're going to see how it's progressing. Okay. I want to see how the other it's brought. Karen's talking about the proposal from Mike Zerlo's office on the 10% assessment reduction for volunteer firefighters and volunteer ambulance workers. I believe NCCS is right in the thick of. I know Mike Zerlo's been up there a couple of times. They've asked him to go up. That is Rouse's Point, Champlain area. They're doing that right now. I want to see how they progress with it and what they do. We have until our budget cycle. Yeah, we're going to be unique as a school district in that because most school districts are going to run into one volunteer fire department. Beamontown School District is going to run into Beamontown, West Shazy, Cumberland Head, District 3. Part of Morrisonville Ambulance Service. No Altona Fire District. But you're looking at substantially more people. So somebody's going to have to do some homework to real property and get some solid figures before we're going to be able to really make a decision on that. Well, I'll keep you posted and see how it's progressed there, and if it went through there and what the reaction was, we'll proceed with it from there.
Steve, do you have access to rosters?
I could get the rosters, yes.
We could do that.
Yes, I would be able to get the rosters, and then, yeah, you would have to get through real property on the exact cost of what it was going to be.
Okay.
There's some criteria there. You have to be in the organization 5 years at least. And there's something about 20 years. If you've been in for 20 years, you're a lifetime. You get the lifetime exemption. It's something that the fire service and the volunteer ambulance service is trying to do for retention. Just trying to hang on to some people.
Are board members included?
I hope so.
Yeah, better than fire.
I'm sure Leonard and I will not participate in the conversation or in the discussion or the vote, but we will gladly wait in the corner and go.
before you throw stones at me, I have one more quick thing.
Yep.
Are we going to discuss the budget calendar at all tonight?
Oh, I forgot about that.
I knew there was one thing bothering me.
Yep.
We haven't.
Did everybody look at their budget calendar? Is that...
Okay. I'd like to offer a comment.
Yep.
From my point of view as a board member, there's a piece missing in our calendar. Uh-huh. And that would be the opportunity or the Board of Education providing some guidance in before we begin the construction of the budget. And I think it's only fair that we share with administration and the district what we may be thinking. So I'm hoping or I'm suggesting that when we come forward to adopt the budget calendar next month on the 11th, that we, as a board, kind of have a discussion as to where we're coming from. And that, I think that will be helpful for everyone.
Very good.
And at one point, we talked about a budget committee. I don't know if that is going to develop at all, or, you know, I just throw that out also. Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, actually, I think budget should be done by the whole board, in my personal opinion, so that everybody understands exactly what's going on all the time.
Okay.
Well, you know, I'd like to comment on that. You know, I don't have a problem with the audit committee coming up with some ideas. It's like the operations does.
Oh, yeah. It would be brought back. It'd be brought back.
Input. I'd be happy for your input on that. Because, you know, the people on the audit committee are going to have a lot of insights that people that don't serve on it aren't.
Yes. Yeah. So, that's a good one. Yeah. Okay.
So, the county will be coming up again. For January. For the January board, actually, the question would be at that time if it's a consensus of the board to inject somewhere in the sequence the updates.
Which I think
for that activity, that's all we can do before you vote on the budget.
Okay.
Adoption.
Very good. Yep.
Tell me what you're thinking.
There is no need for a further executive session.
I motion adjourned.
No.
Richard.
I second it.
No tradition.
Okay. I'll take it. I withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Kathy. Seconded by Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Diane again, thank you.